1987, 70 years following, Christ could completely come and restore the promised land. So Christ could come in 1988. People ask, are we moving toward the end of the world? Habakkuk said, you just wait. You just watch. God is going to fulfill his mission. Take a brief look at some of the signs. First of all, Micah 4:3. Rumors of wars, and they shall beat their plowshares and their pruning hooks, and they shall study war no more. 268 years of peace in the last 4,000 years, despite 8,000 separate peace treaties. A former president of science in Norway said that since 3600 BC, there have been 14,531 wars in which 3,640,000,000 people killed. Following the 30-year war in 1648, three-fourths of the German-speaking people had died in that war. And the most costly, World War II, of 54,800,000 people, Poland lost 6,028,000, 22% of her population wiped out. We have this, plus materialism, seasons of lawlessness, travel and education. Sir Isaac Newton read Daniel 12:4, and he said those words refer to the end of time. And Newton went on to speculate that man might someday travel at the rate of 50 miles per hour. Voltaire, reading those words 80 years later, said that foolish man of Christianity, saying that man might travel at 30 or 40 miles an hour, has he forgotten to travel at such a rate of the speed he would be suffocating? His heart would stand still. I wonder what Voltaire would say today about the astronauts walking across the continent at 17,500 miles per hour as they rush along in speed. And so we have this plus the growth of knowledge. The fellow who is born today and graduates from college, by the time he graduates from college, knowledge is four times higher and expanded. That is, by the time that child is 50 years of age, it will have expanded 32 times. In my lifetime, I have seen knowledge and a lot of things expand. I think about when I was a boy, we did not have radios. We did not have many automobiles. Automobiles were getting started. There were not airplanes in the air in that day and in that time. And television was unheard of. That was the dark ages. Right there, then, when I was a boy. Finally, some years back, we had one television set here in South Norfolk. And I used to go and look at it sometime. It picked up a station 100 miles away, and all you could see was snow. and maybe a little picture on that. But what I'm talking about, and you look at television today, and the color, and the progress, and the knowledge, and things. 8 years ago, every second, 2,000 typewritten pages are added to man's knowledge. And material produced every 24 hours would take a man 5 years to read it. Now, 75% of all the medicine today that's being used has come to us since World War II. Hamner of the Sperry Rand Computer Company says that if every person in this land should be trained as a clerk. Every person. They would not be able to do the work that one computer company is able to do. One company alone. It used to take several rooms to house a computer, but now it's consolidated down in space and people having them in their homes to keep up with their budget and their money and find out how the wives are spending it. In 1873, there was a bill introduced in the United States Congress to close the U.S. Patent Office because everything had been invented that was worthwhile had already been invented. Signs of the times, Genesis 3, 4, and 5, the serpent said to the woman, "Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall know what is good and what is evil." This is a day of humanism, going back beyond to the days of Eden. Philosophy in which man can be independent of God and solve his own problems, as Romans says, "When a man knew God, yet he glorified not God. He makes out his own moral codes." He says today, salvation is harmful for an individual, and there is no evidence that a man is going to survive death. And there is the deadly philosophy that we should take the lock out of wedlock. And today there are advocates all around us who say, let us take and put statues in public places of new people. Even God covered the nakedness in the Garden of Eden with skins. And then the systems of this world today, we have so many political organizations, the North Atlantic Treaty, the European Stock Common Market, the Asian Nations and Association, the League of Arab States, the African Unity, the Warsaw Pact, on and on and on, plus the OPEC nations and petroleum and so on. Being formed. We have all of this as signs of the times, including demon activity. In 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3, "In the latter times men shall depart from faith, and they shall give heed to the doctrines of devils and speak lies and apostasy." Today we have the increase of demon activity throughout this world with the revival of astrology. Gene Dixon carries a lot of weight today in the world. Horoscope columns appear in the daily newspapers. Hare Krishna has 30 temples in the United States. The Children of God in the late 60s have 400 colonies. The Unification Church, which was started by Sung Moon in 54, saying that he was Christ, coming on Easter morning in 1936, and he was going to fulfill the Savior's work as a Messiah. The Worldwide Church Today by Herbert W. Armstrong, with its $75 million business and its magazine, The Plain Truth, organized in 1934. Scientology, founded in 1950. The First Church of Satan in 1966 in France and San Francisco. And in 1901, Agnes Osman, who had the baptism of the Spirit and the speaking in tongues, the birthday of some of the modern Pentecostalism, a strange, amazing theology which elevates personal experience above the Bible. And in Norfolk this week, we have the New Life Church for the gays seeking national reputation and recognition. Plus, all of this across the country, people hunting for surrogate mothers to replace somebody, to hire somebody for the service of a mother. These are signs of the times. Plus, today, and I don't think I'm still in the dark ages, I think some of this rock music, Daniel 3, 4, and 5, at the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, and all kinds of music, fall down and worship the great golden image, Nebuchadnezzar. When I think of Presley's Heartbreak Hotel and Hound Dog and I Want to Love You and so on. Did you know something? When that came on the market in 1956 and 57, that sort of music, there had been a hit parade on the radio since 1935, but in 1957 the hit parade went off and that took over. The Beatles, I Want to Hold Your Hand. What is rock? Well, it's a lot of sound. It's a lot of amplified noise. It's a lot of relentless pounding and beating. It's a lot of deafening assault. Well, I tell you what. I'm not old fogey, but I've never heard any rock music that you could dine by, or that you could march by, or that you could sing along with. There's no such thing. When I think the advocates of blasphemy, the song Son of Jesus, which advocates that Jesus was the son of Mary Magdalene, when John Lennon and his Beatles began to work on the entitled A Spaniard in the Works and portrayed Jesus Christ as a garlic-eating, stinking, little, yellow, greasy, illegitimate child, that to me is a sign of the time. And I think of Charles Manson and his group writing the word pig across the Tate Mansion in blood. Not to say the many of them who have died in violence, such as Jim Morrison, Brian Jones, Janis Joplin, Elvis Presley. In the Vietnam War, they had a song, Where Have All the Young Flowers Gone? They did never write a song about where have the 150,000 the young people who have died from overdoses of dope gone. And until you are in the middle of it and have to conduct services for young people who have had overdoses, you'll never realize what it's all about. How different Charles Wesley, who wrote 7,000 hymns, and 5,000 of them had to do with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I have time to say to you maybe about the restoration of Israel as a sign this morning of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of the history of Israel points to that day, that it is quickly approaching. In AD 325, Constantine controls Jerusalem. In 614, the Persians control it. In 634, the Arabs. In 1099, the Crusaders. In 1517, the Turks. In 1898, the world Zionists got underway. In 1917, the British said we should have a home for the Jews. In 1917, Allenby went in and conquered Jerusalem. In 1937, the UN proposed to create a statehood. In 1948, the Jews declared themselves a nation. And they have had plenty of wars. In 1967, the Six-Day War, they were able to conquer that major territory. And the Bible says this is a sign. Did you know in the scriptures 300 times, once out of every 25 verses in the Bible, it says that Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. Christ said he was coming. The apostles repeated that. The angels said he would come in Acts 1:11. The purpose of his coming is to raise the dead, to reward his people, to separate the sinful, to bring final judgment, and to allow reunion in heaven. Preparation for his coming and the examination time is near. Are you ready for the return? Habakkuk said to his people in his day who were getting upset with his preaching, he said, you just wait. You just watch. You just be slow enough to open your eyes and see God is going to work, and he's going to deal with Babylon, the symbol of the world. I say to you this morning, you just wait. You just watch. You just have a vision. Think of these signs I've mentioned. Either one would take a sermon. Humanism, rock music, all of these are world organizations, and Israel's restoration. Jesus Christ is coming back. Corrie ten Boom was in a coma for 4 long years. At the age of 91, the pearly gates opened for her. She went in. Now some of you are saying this morning, preacher, how can I be sure? How can I know? How can I be certain? First of all, I would say to you, repent of your sins. That is, change your mind about sin. and change your mind about the things of this world and the materialism and the things that sweep you off in lust. God has to help you, though, to repent. Second, receive Christ by faith. You cannot come intellectually. You cannot do this by reason. You have to do this by receiving Him by faith. And then finally, you have to be willing to come to Christ at all cost. You have to be willing to be obedient unto Him, regardless of the cost. You may have to break with the old crowd. You may have to change some of your ideologies about life. You may have to take a road in which you people make fun of you, maybe, or laugh at you, or say, well, she's trying to be good, or he's trying to, you know, be like a preacher. But you have to be willing to pay the price. And you have to be willing to be obedient. And that's why this morning I'm going to ask you, if your life is not right with God and if you're not prepared to meet Him, should He come before sundown today, I'm going to ask you to come forward and take your place on the front pew and give your heart to Christ and accept Him as your Savior. Remember, in the days when Jesus was here upon this earth, every person He talked to and called, He asked them to publicly follow Him. He asked them to come out from among the crowd. He asked them to be obedient and to leave the old life and to turn their backs upon it. And so this morning we're asking you to do that. Where He leads, I will follow. And I hope that you will do it as we sing hymn number 371. God is talking to you today, and you need to prepare to meet God. You're unprepared. If God should come today, Christ in glory, you would not be ready. And so I'm inviting you this morning to come and give your life to Him. As the Lord Jesus would invite you, I am trusting the Holy Spirit to touch your life and to cause you to want to respond, and I hope you will, while we sing this invitation, will you come?
Take thy cross and
there perhaps may be some individual here this morning. If you were truthful with yourself, if I should die today, I would not really be ready to meet him. If Jesus should come at 1 o'clock today, I would not be prepared to meet him. There are some things in my life, some decisions I should have made, some rearrangements that need to be made in my life, some rededication that I ought to do, and I wouldn't be ready. How can I get prepared? Oh, listen, the signs are there. I believe it. They're in the Word of God, and God has said it. And you wait. You just tarry. You just keep your eyes. God is going to fulfill every word that he said he would. First, you had to repent. Second, you have to receive. Third, you have to be willing. And finally, I've said to you today that our Lord Jesus, when he called somebody, he said to them, you come on and follow me publicly. He didn't tell them to, now you keep it quiet and don't let anybody know what's happened to you. But he said publicly, you come, follow me. And maybe somebody in the balcony, somebody on the lower floor. We're going to sing the second stanza. And maybe there's somebody who's just waited. God's Holy Spirit has spoken to you. I hope you'll quickly step out and come right now while the Spirit speaks. This is your time and God's time to minister to you. Will you do it right now?
I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him all the way. When he leads me,
thank you so much, and may God use his message to bless your life, and God bless you, Carolyn, upon your decision this morning. The Lord be with you. So delighted that we have several visitors with us today, worshiping in our midst, and so happy that you were able to get to the church. You know, they have moved the 20-year celebration down on the next corner. my street, we celebrate ever since I've been in Chesapeake. We've had something going on, and so the celebration down there, I almost had to be like Little John and Robin Hood and put a log across there this morning, but through much travail and the Methodist preacher out on the lawn, I congratulated him on having it at his doorstep, and I said that God has really blessed you today because you'll have noise outside as well as inside, but you'll have to be more powerful. So we are happy that you are here. Each of you.